Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about the worst is over. The worst is over. The other day we did a communion meditation on despairing. We talked about how in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul was talking about how he was under so much pressure. He was despairing of life itself. He just had no hope for the situation. There was no hope for a way out. But then later in that passage, I was looking at that passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I was reading through it and just all kinds of different translations, NIV, ESV, Amplified. And I came to the Message version. MSG would be the three letters for it, the Message version. And there was just this phrase that said, down a couple paragraphs later, it says, "Now that the worst is over." Now that the worst is over. And I don't know, for whatever reason, for about a week now, that phrase has just stuck with me. And I really felt like God was wanting us to take communion over this. Just as a symbolic way. If you're going through anything, you got just times of pressure, you're in situations that maybe they look hopeless from the outside, that we would take communion over this as a time to just turn the table and say, you know what? I'm believing God's with me and that the worst is over. The trajectory is going to change. We're going to start moving forward from this point on in our life. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. Was just doing life on my own without God. Wasn't interested in the things of God. But really, I was walking in darkness, just doing things all on my own way. I was stressed out all the time. All the weight and pressure of life just sitting on me. At the time, I'm running my personal training gym business, and life is just not going the way I want it to go. My gym business is very up and down. I got some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars every month. And I remember going for a walk with my wife around the neighborhood, just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. And the truth was, I was seeking. I was seeking for a better way. I was trying to help our clients in the gym get better results in their health and fitness. So I'm traveling all over the country, studying with the best health and fitness experts. I'm searching for truth, but I'm not finding it. I'm reading books. I'm taking courses. I'm studying. I'm learning, but I'm not finding it. Then one day I came across this challenge to read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. It says, if you do it every day consistently, it will change your life. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on the first day of the month, you read Proverbs chapter 1. Day 2 of the month, you read Proverbs chapter 2. You keep going like that to the end of the month, and then you start back over again. So I started doing this, and right away, I began to see that my way of thinking and God's way of thinking were definitely not in alignment with each other. I had a different way of doing things. It was not God's way, that's for sure. But over time, he began to renew my mind. And then one day, this verse in Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create manuals and systems and teaching and training for all the different areas of life, for areas like purpose and health and family, finance, order, time, and community. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. So I started seeking after God. I started pressing into him. And from that point on, my relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. He began to teach me. He began to train me, taught me this whole other way to live. Now, it wasn't always easy. I had to unlearn a lot of my old pattern, unlearn a lot of my old ways. Got put myself in some of these impossible looking situations. And I needed a message like today probably many times. Just a point in time where we say, you know what? The worst is over. We're going to turn it around. Because out of everything we do, so over the course of time, this whole walk with God turned into this program we have now called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. And out of everything that we do, the most important thing that we do is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to turn the tables, to make it so that the worst is over and we change the trajectory of the situation and our lives going forward. To just simply turn things around and get us moving in a different direction. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to remember his sacrifice, to remember our covenant with God. Over and over, God tells the people in the Old Testament, don't forget me. Don't forget your covenant with me. It helps us to abide in Christ so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And personally, I found it's this opportunity. We can take these promises that God has made. It can serve as a marker in time, to say, that was the day that I received that promise. That was the day that I activated and received that promise. And I believe I received God's help walking in that from this point on in my life. So today we're believing we receive. The worst is over. It's only going to get better from this point on. Things are going to turn. It's only going to get better from this point on. How are we going to do it? God's going to help us. God's going to help us. And communion is this powerful opportunity. We're combining the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus. We're stirring that into our soul, in our mind, in remembrance. And then we combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do. Physical things help us to remember. They create triggers that help us to remember better. You've probably got things around your house, pictures or things that you touch or look at or certain smells that trigger certain memories. The cracker and the juice help us to remember. Something physical that we do to help us. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and honor and reverence for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember the lead up to the cross. God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, doing our own things, separated from him forever. But he chose the way of love. He chose to send his one and only son. And to think about who Jesus was, he was willing to come. He's willing to humble himself and be obedient even unto death on a cross for us. He's rejected by his own people. He's betrayed by his own disciple, spit on and hit and mocked and ridiculed and whipped, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, I believe he's separated from God. The cup of God's wrath was poured onto his body. It says it pleased God to crush him. His body was destroyed. He became sin for us. But on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. Can have this personal relationship with God, be connected back to him forever. And I think it's important we remember both sides of that. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is a physical expression of exercising our faith. Helps us to practice exercising our faith, to receive this grace by faith, and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching and listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is where we talk about, are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the master. We have to have this eternal perspective on life, this eternal perspective with God, but our relationship with him, it's got to be brought down into today. It's got to impact today, the things that we do, the decisions that we make, the things that we're thinking about and talking about. And remember, masters of anything are simply masters of the fundamentals. That's what we're talking about, executing these four fundamentals and bringing some fun into them today. Make these fundamentals fun. These four fundamentals, I'm just thinking about right now, they are skills. The more we practice them, the more we get skilled at them. Our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. And every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. Every day, we got to start with humility. We're going to position ourselves back into humility every day. We all have a tendency to want to get into pride, and we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into this. Jesus says, you want to become great in the kingdom of heaven, you got to humble yourself like this little child. Just simple childlike faith and humility that just simply believes and trusts in God. We're going to humble ourselves in relationship to God, humble ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We often forget to forgive ourselves. And we're going to give other people that same grace and forgiveness God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith, and it's one of the easiest ways to maintain our positioning all day. And positioning is a big deal. Because when we take our position, we're stepping into Christ. And it helps us to be able to receive all that God has for us. Imagine a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback throws a pass and the receiver runs the wrong direction. He's out of position to receive. When we take our position in the light, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything he has and he put it all in him. We get this amazing opportunity. We get to remain in him today. When we remain in him, our lives can produce much fruit. But what's in there? God's spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, the answers that we need to the problems that we're facing today. He's got health and energy in there for us today. He's got more than enough time. He supplies all of our needs. There's finances available in there. We've got purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. It's all in there in Christ. But we have to learn how to get in position to receive it. And then we have to learn how to get it flowing through us out into the world where we see the fruit and the result of it in our lives. So our first step is to get in position. Our second step is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make it bigger or greater. We're going to turn up the brightness of this light that he put within us. It's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. What are those things that I'm constantly just rolling over and over and over in our mind? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. His unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that God has already done in our lives, because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing to bring them into the light. And instead of magnifying those problems, rolling them over and over and over in our minds, talking about them consistently, toiling away in our minds, trying to figure it all out, we're going to rest and we're going to trust. We're going to give these problems over to God. And we're going to magnify him as bigger than those issues and problems. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way. Bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, toiling away in our mind, trying to figure it all out. Rather than resting and trusting in him. And that's where we're going to learn to recognize the symptoms. Because wherever we're positioned, wherever we're magnifying, it's going to produce some symptoms in our life. When we're out of position, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people. We might snap at them or withhold good things that we know to do because they did something we didn't like. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment, not talk to them, isolate ourselves from people. On the inside, there'll be this heaviness and weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like there's nothing you can do. Like it's never going to get better. It's always going to be this way. You're trapped or you're stuck. But we're taking communion today that the worst is over. God's turning this around. Then there's the low energy. Think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Emotionally, there's the fear and the stress and the worry. We're toiling away in our mind trying to figure it all out. We're dreading things in the future oftentimes, envisioning all these worst-case scenarios in our mind. There's confusion about which steps to take or which direction to go. And we get stuck in these vicious cycles that seem to just keep repeating themselves over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And everything is free and easy and effortless and energizing. And now all of a sudden, we've got his peace and his joy and his love, his mind and wisdom begin to flow. We've got more than enough time. He supplies the finances we need. His health and energy begin to flow through us. He gives us purpose and grace for our lives today. And now all of a sudden, we've got hope in any and every situation. Because we've got God with us. And he begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life. These good and perfect gifts that come from above. The solutions for our life that we could never make happen on our own. We could never dream of the way God wants to do it. But it takes learning to rest and to trust in him. For him to do the work rather than us trying to figure it all out. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around, get back in position again. Every day, life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. But if we ever do that, it's learning to recognize those symptoms and turn it back around quickly. How do we do it? I think it starts with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody else, we take those steps. And then we start praising and thanking him, magnifying him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And then I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today with beauty and grace and poise. Help me to tap into it, to see it flowing in my life at a greater level today. You pray that simple prayer, you'll feel the tables turn. You'll feel the weight just lift off you on the inside. You feel his peace and his joy and his love and his energy just begin to wash over you again. And then our third fundamental, we've got to stay tuned in today. Every day, we've got to stay tuned into God's leading. He's trying to lead us and navigate us throughout the day. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've talked about, at the top of our journal, installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are just short phrases, maybe a sentence that we keep rewriting every night before bed as a way to reinforce God's standards for our life. God's standards are meant to navigate us through life, learning to implement his way of doing things, making a commitment to those things in our life. For example, you might write something that goes like this. God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. Then when something comes your way throughout the day that makes you want to stress or worry or get into fear about something, you got that reminder. Wait a minute. God's working for my good behind the scenes. I can't see him doing it, but he's working for my good. When somebody pushes your buttons or gets under your skin or wrongs you in some way and you're tempted to respond in a not so loving way, we got this reminder. Wait a minute. I'm going to do continually good for others, just like God's doing for me. I'm going to give them the same grace God has given me. And it helps us to navigate through the situations of the day, using God's standard to navigate us. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question. God, what were you trying to show me today? What's the most important thing you're trying to show me today? And just get still and listen and reflect back over the day. Whatever comes into my mind, whether I think it was God or not, just write it down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we've got to stay tuned in throughout the day. Every day he's trying to navigate us through the day, but we've got to stay tuned into him. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Slow down, take a couple deep breaths, get still. Get aware of his presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. You're going to get charged up or powered up in him again. And then our fourth fundamental is learning to stick with what we know to do. Doing what we know to do today. So what I like to do before bed is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule rather than trusting in God to unfold the steps at the proper time. And I was getting out ahead of him. And there was no grace there. It's just me trying to do it on my own. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I was getting behind him. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn about this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say every morning? And I felt like he was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1. What's the very first thing we see God speak in the whole Bible? Which is, let there be light. And so I started doing this every morning, right away, first thing when I get up. The first thing out of my mouth every morning, let there be light. And then I like to add, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's amazing how just that simple little thing, you wouldn't think it would do much, but it just sets the tone for the whole day. It just brings this different energy into the day. Makes a big difference. And then we're going to start getting connected with God. We're going to walk out that plan together with him today with a willing heart and a good attitude and full confidence in him. He's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of confident faith, His grace just begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life. These good and perfect gifts that come from above. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at these scriptures today. So like I said, a little context of where this is coming from. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is talking about this time where he was under so much pressure, he was just despairing of life even itself. Just had no hope. He was in such a tough, pressure-packed situation. He had no hope. Looked like there was no way out. But then he goes on to say this in the Message version. He says, "Now that the worst is over, we're pleased that we can report that we've come out of this. The worst is over. We've come out of this. And how did we come out? We came out of it with our conscience and our faith intact. And we can face the world. And even more importantly, face you with our heads held high. But it wasn't with any fancy footwork on our part. It was God who kept us focused on him, uncompromised." So I'm just reminded, talking about coming out with conscience and faith intact. I'm reminded of this verse. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, "Timothy, my child, I entrust you with this command in keeping with the previous prophecies about you so that you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and thereby shipwrecked their faith." So let's talk about these real quick. What is faith? We want to come through. Sometimes we go through pressure-packed situations. And our goal is we're going to fight that good fight of faith. We're going to come out of it on the other side with our faith intact and our conscience clean. Jesus paid for us to have a clean, clear conscience. How are we going to do it? We're going to keep our faith intact. We're going to keep our eyes fixed on God. We're going to persevere. It says in the Old Testament, Moses persevered. I think it might be in Hebrews, actually. Moses persevered because he saw him who was invisible. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're going to keep our eyes fixed on God. It's going to help us persevere through these times where we got some pressure on us. We're in tough situations. And we're going to come out of those times with our conscience intact. How are we going to do that? One of the fundamentals we talked about, do what you know to do. God's going to give you those nudges on what to do. We're going to come out of it with our conscience intact. A good conscience, a clear conscience. We're just going to do good. We're going to do the right things. Even though when the pressure's on, we're going to do good. So we're going to take communion over this. Heavenly Father, we're asking for your help today. If anybody's in pressure-packed situations, just situations that need to be turned around, we're asking that this would be the day, the moment that we take this communion, this, the breaking of the bread will be a breaking of that pattern, a turning around, and that the worst of it would be over. The trajectory would change. And not only that, but that we would come out of it with our conscience and our faith intact. By your grace, not by any fancy footwork on our part, but by your grace and by your help. You look previously in this passage in 2 Corinthians, it talks about Paul. Paul talks about that pressure came on so that we would learn to rely on God rather than ourselves. To teach us to learn to rely on God rather than ourselves. So Father, we just thank you that the worst is over and you're helping us to come out of it with our conscience and our faith intact. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's just take a moment to remember all that Jesus went through. God loved us so much, he's willing to send his one and only son. Jesus is willing to humble himself and go through what he went through for us. Spit on and hit, mocked and ridiculed, whipped, nailed to a cross, and worst of all, the cup of God's wrath was poured onto his body. He was crushed by God. He was destroyed so that God could be fighting for us. He's raised back to life. That same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. Through his one sacrifice, he connects us back to God. And we can rely and trust in him. So, Father, we just thank you for this bread and all that it represents. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He's released us from darkness. He's transferred us into the light. The worst is over. As believers, you experience God turning this around. He brings you out with your conscience and your faith intact. It's just going to help you to know him more. To know him that much more. His grace and his love and his goodness that much more. So, Father, we just thank you for this cup. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right. Let's talk about health and fitness stuff. Something we've talked about lately. Something I feel like God's been teaching me is the importance of our joints and tendons and ligaments and the structure of our body. It's important to get the structure of our body strong first. Often we try to focus on getting the muscles strong. We want the structure strong first. And one of the things that's important in our physical exercise, especially as we're doing weight training or resistance training, is we get the body what's called structurally balanced. One of my mentors in the area of health and fitness would talk about this a lot, about the idea of being structurally balanced. For example, you want your legs and upper body to be structurally balanced. You want your arms to be structurally balanced, where you're not stronger on one side of the arm than the other. You want your, let's say, chest and shoulders and back to all be structurally balanced. And so one of the goals in our daily communion workout is that we've tried to design the program in such a way that it's structurally balanced. But you also got to pay attention to just the amounts of weights. And we may put out some more training on this at some point. We have some teaching on this actually in my book, Cracking Heaven's Code, on what are the standards or the norms for how to structurally balance. Because sometimes our weights can get out of balance. You know, you're doing way too much weight on the upper body and not enough on the lower body, or vice versa, whatever it may be. And our bodies can get a little bit structurally unbalanced because we're putting different loads on different areas. So a key thing to keep in mind is to keep our bodies structurally balanced. When we get imbalanced, a lot of times it leads to pain. So something to keep an eye on as you're going through your workouts. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.